blessing and favor over every life, over every family that is here today. And I pray great increase into their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said amen. Hey, there's Howie. Howie, what have you been doing? I've been calling on you, bragging about you. Can we put our hands together again for our deputy today? I love you, buddy. I really appreciate him. He's a great friend as well. If you have your Bible and you want to look at it in Romans chapter 7, I'm going to look in just a few verses. And this thought came to me 2, maybe even 3 months ago. Why did I do that? And I think it came on the heels of something, maybe even personally, that had to do with me. And when I said it, as maybe I've said it, maybe you said, you know, hundreds of times in your lives, why did I do that? Why do I continually have that propensity to go back and do something that I don't want to do, and I do it again? And it's almost a learned habit that we do it over and over again. I immersed myself in this so deeply. I read on psychology, I read scripture, and I got to the end of it and I thought, oh my goodness, I am really confused now and I'm really nervous. But at the end of it, God always, through the power of his written word, brings the answer that you and I need for our lives. And I said this earlier in the first service, I'm not afraid of what science can tell us, because, you know, psychology is just the understanding of the scientific behavior of humanity. And so I want to know more about that. But the more that I read about it, the answers that we need, even that doctors and psychologists and scientists give, are based and found in the Word of God. And you can know this verbatim, that God's word will have the last say in every area of your life and mine. Every single one. You can just know it for sure that he will have the last say in it. And so, you know, I'm thinking this week and really for the last couple months about maybe it's a habit that sometimes it's healthy for us to recognize, okay, I do this again and again, and I look and I turn around and I say, why did I do that? Can I tell you today that that's healthier for you, even in that place, even if you're doing it over and over? And I'm going to give you some pathways out of it today. But sometimes people are doing things and they have no conviction about it at all. They have no remorse over it at all. Just doing it and thinking that they're getting paid. That's what they do. And for some of you, it could be a myriad of things. I'll share a couple thoughts my wife and I had driving down the road. But the more I can focus on something and look at it that is having this potential negative effect on my life, and when I can focus on it and I can address it with the power of God's Holy Spirit and his word, then my life is better, and yours will be better as well. Listen to what the Apostle Paul, he writes in Romans 7:15. And understand this, when we read this, that when he wrote this, we're reading what the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament says. He says, I do not understand what I do. And ladies, if you're trying to understand your husband, this is the perfect scripture. He can't even understand him. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. My goodness. He goes on in verse 17. He says, it is as it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin that's living inside of me. Verse 18. He said, I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, But the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Wow. What an incredible. You read that and you think, what's the hope for me? Where am I in all this? He said, I do not do the good I really want to do. I really want to do this. But the evil I do not want to do, this is what I keep on doing. And what comes out of your mind when you think, why did I do that? What? And I don't need to tell you what it is, and you don't need to tell me what mine is, because we both know, and we both are trying to fight this battle and get on the other side of this. I said, honey, let's just write down some things. The first one she wrote down, I thought it was interesting coming from her. One of the things, why did I do that? The first thing she wrote down is overspend. How about argue or act nasty towards someone or start a fight with somebody? Just out of nothing. Social media has come to be the platform where people can hide away from a face-to-face talk and just act nasty. And if you ever have that propensity to do it, can I just challenge you today to turn the other way and not? Maybe it's for you, it's getting mad. Maybe it's lying. Maybe it's you're addicted to something, drugs or alcohol. Maybe it's every time you get behind the wheel of a car, you speed. Does anybody have that problem? Quick to admit it, the rest of you, many of you are lying. You're doing it because you're afraid. Howie's up there. He's got a little pad and a paper. Yeah, I'm going to watch her, him. Yep. How about procrastinate? How about why did I treat my spouse that way or say what I did to her or him? And I wish I wouldn't have done that. You know, 41 years I've been married to the same woman, and I still, to this day, there'll be times when something will twerk me and I'll snap at her. And the difference now is in about 30 seconds, I'll say, why did I do that? And then I'll say, honey, I'm sorry that I did that. But I want to get on the other side of that, so that isn't a regular occurrence in my life. And Paul said, it's not me any longer. He said, it's the sin that is living inside of me. And that definition for that word sin simply means to miss the mark. And I want to encourage you here today that God is not mad at any one of you. He's not upset. He is not surprised at you. He's not disappointed in you. God sent his only son, Jesus Christ, into the world, fully God, fully man, part of the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. The Bible says not to bring condemnation to the world, but that the world may be saved. That whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He has come, and the Bible says that God placed the iniquity, the sin of humanity on Jesus, his only son. Every sin that you, your parents, your children, my grandchildren, they better not. Every sin, God placed it on Jesus and made you and I free from the power that it could have, not only over your eternal destiny, but over your life right here on this earth. God saves you, and when we give our lives to him, he not only opens up the pathway to eternal life, but he then transforms our lives and calls us and causes us to be more like him. Not that we can be better than other people, but that we can live a life that is more productive, that will have more joy and fulfillment and be everything that God has called and created you and I to be. And I'm telling you, many times we live way below what God says we can live by. And we allow this old nature inside of us that Paul said. He said, it's not me. It's that sin nature, that old pull on me, that old man, that old life that keeps its grip enough on me that at certain moments in my life, if I become weak, if I'm tired, come on, how many of you get hangry and you just don't act the same way? You just, something pulls on you and it causes you to act in an inappropriate manner. And when we really get the sense of who God has called us to be, when you get a glimpse, when you're not so focused on, you think, well, I did this so he doesn't like me, I've done that so God is mad at me. Can I just tell you, that's not the gospel. That's not our Jesus. He loves you. If he had a refrigerator, your picture would be on it. He loves you. And when we give our lives to him, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who knew no sin, listen, became sin for us that we might be the righteousness of God in Christ. He took all the sin and laid it on Christ. Isaiah 53, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The punishment, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The cross and the blood of the Lamb that was shed for you and I has wiped away the power and the stain that sin wants to have in your life and in mine. You ought to clap for that. That's good right there. You can never forget the power of his blood in your life. But in some of these issues in our lives have just developed over time by doing them over and over, by acting those out. Habits that for some reason or another we just captured with our heart and our attention, and we started doing them and they offer no helpful long-lasting fruit for your lives. And this is true. You can't choose your parents. And some of us have DNA flowing through our bodies that it's just part of that family. But the Bible says that when we become a part of Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:19, we become members of God's family. Now the Bible says that we've been grafted into the vine of Christ, in the lineage, in the bloodline, now is a part of who our lives are. And although your father or my father might have acted in one way and may have had these habits and was known for a particular way, now when the blood of Christ touches your life and you're forgiven and you're born again, the blood of Jesus is now a part of your lives, and it's defining you, not from who you used to be or where you came from, but who you can become in Christ today. Amen. Come on, if you're going to clap, don't mess around. And it's so important that we know this family and that we are grateful. Listen, I'm grateful for the house of God, that we can have these conversations. And at the end of the day, listen, there's no pointing fingers. There's no condemnation to anyone. You may think, and people tell me that, I hear this, it's nonsense. Well, I don't want to go to church because, you know, people are looking at. Nobody's looking at you for where you were or what you've done. Did you hear me? Nobody is here to judge you. Listen, we got enough junk in our trunk. We don't need to look at anybody else's. But when we come together, we are a family. We are the family of God. I thought I saw somebody coming. I'm like, who's coming up behind me here? Isn't my son handsome? I don't know where I was now. I got caught up with how handsome Ben is. When we come together, we're the family of God. When you win, I win. When you do good, I do good. When you're successful, we're all successful. When one overcomes, we all rejoice. When one is hurting, we all hurt because we are a part of the family of God. We are one together. Many members, we don't look the same. We don't talk the same. But at the end of the day, you are my brother. You are my sister. If you've given your life to Christ, we're going to live in eternity in heaven together, whether you like it or not. White, black, red, yellow, I don't care where you come from. You can be from Mexico, Asia. If you love Jesus, you are my brother. You are my sister. And we are going to spend life together. Amen. Come on. Now, there's a place for you to thank God. And Paul goes on and he says in Romans 8:1, he said, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit has set you free in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and death. Now, you know, if you're reading the old King James, it says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's not in the original language. That's why you got to look at all. You can't be King James only, because King James only doesn't always have it right. It's not right there. It says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, period. End of story. Let me read this to you out of the Message, and I'm just going to give you a couple thoughts on how to move in a healthy direction. Romans 7:17, in the Message, he said, Paul said, I like how it's written. He said, but I need something more, for I know the law, but still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize that I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in action. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's commands, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in that delight. Part of me covertly rebel, and just when I least expect it, it takes charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? Thank God for this verse 25. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by my influence of sin to do something totally different. And if you're here today and you recognize what I'm talking about here, that pull in your life to live and to do something different, I want to just help you to address, to look at it, and to shine some light on some of the things that we can do to make that change. Because can I tell you something? For some of you, time is getting short. And just because you think everything is, and you can put it out of your mind all you want, but we have to make the decision, this is the day that I'll make the move that God wants me to make. Listen, number one, confess it to God. You got to take the first step and bring it to Him. Just like when you gave your life to Christ, the Bible says with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says if we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, He is faithful and just not only to forgive us of them, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness or from the effect that they want to have on our lives. Got to do that. That's number one. Second, you got to engage in a changing behavior, in a behavior that's not the same that you always did. Listen, sometimes people do things and they act things out and they think it's cute. Well, they use little phrases. Well, it's just the way I am. Well, it's just the way I've always been. Like that's a good excuse. You know, I used the thought this morning when my kids came home. I love to see all the babies. Incidentally, if your baby is here and he or she cries, I just take that as an amen to me. They don't bother me in the least. But when I brought my babies home, I remember they coming home. Listen, I'm an old dairy farmer. We know the calf is healthy when it begins to eat and it poops. And when those kids came home and they fill up their diaper, I said, honey, that is the healthiest thing. We all clap. It was cute and it was funny. But they still did it. It wouldn't be funny or cute anymore. And for some, you're doing the same old thing all the time, still thinking it's cute and funny. And what it's doing is creating a pattern in your life that's harming you. And can I say one more thing? For dads and moms, it's hurting those who are looking up to you. Change it. Proverbs 28:13, he who covers his sin will not prosper, but whoever hears his word, confesses and forsakes them, will have mercy. You got to bring it out. You got to engage in some behavior that's different. And you got to learn everything God has said about that particular issue in Scripture. In the Bible, there is an answer for every challenge or issue you and I face. And when we take God's word, he will help us to pave a path towards restoration in that part of our lives. You can't just wing this thing. You have to use God's word to make it right. If you don't have a Bible, by the way, you come up later. I'll give you one. I'll help you if you don't like that one. I'll help you, whatever you can do. There's too much ability for you and I to have the word of God in our lives now, not to have that a regular part of our lives. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of our mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all that is written in it. For then shall your ways be made prosperous, and then you will have good success. Let God's word be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Number four, learn to ask forgiveness if you hurt anybody along the way with this action. And when you ask for forgiveness, it brings a reminder to you for the next time that that begins to happen in your life. Husbands and wives, this is very important in your relationship. You can say things and act away things, and you can just go away and never apologize for it. And you know, your wife or your husband can say, well, that's just the way he is, or that's just the way she is. I've learned to get along with it. I've learned to live with it. You have for now. But don't you kid yourself. Get good at saying, I'm sorry. Make a plan to apologize. If you've created anything in your family or outside of your family, if somebody has done something to you, be fast to apologize and let that have an impact on your life. You might not be able to fix it completely with that, but it'll help you and it'll heal you from doing what you know you don't want to do again. Matthew 5:23, if any of you, therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar, go your way, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Jesus said, don't bring your gift until you make it right with the one that is offended. Excuse me. Number five, learn to set up some guardrails in your life. This is really important to keep us from doing it over and over and over again. Listen, if you've got if you're in an area and you struggle with anger, you fly off the handle. You don't want to get by and around and hang around people that run from you when you get angry. You want to get into the mix of some people that when you fly off the handle, they'll get right up into your business and say, hold on just a minute. Stop that right now. Man, I tell you, when I was younger, I had a temper. Full disclosure, I can still get torqued off. Don't test me, please. No. Nothing. When I was younger, not good. I had a man get up in my face one time, challenged me on that. I was so hot and mad at him, but it was the best thing in my life, because if I let that gone, God only knows what that would have done in my life. You have to have those boundaries up. And the right people, don't just be around people that always just make you feel good. I cannot handle all your response on that statement. Proverbs 27:12 says, a prudent man foresees evil and hides himself. The simple pass on and are punished. Proverbs 26:11, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Do it over and over again. Which leads me to the next six. Seek the godly counsel for the solutions to help you get back on track. You know what I've learned and I found out in life? I'm going to be done in just a moment. It doesn't matter who. I have met men and women of God that have gotten off track so incredible. And they didn't have anybody in their life to speak into their life and to help them to get back in the way that they should be going. And we need to have the godly counselors in our lives. You know, I said this earlier about psychology, and as I was studying a little bit, some of these behaviors coincide with OCD, and part of the behavior to heal and to bring restoration to a person that has these habits of doing over and over and over things that hurt them is to do what they call cognitive behavior therapy. And one of the parts of that is to get around people that can help you. See, the Bible is full of that. They didn't, you know, science, it took them a long time. But if they would have looked in Hebrews in chapter 10, where it says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some, and even more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. We need one another in our lives. You need me. I need you. You need one another. And it's not just here. It's in a Bible study. It's in a men's group. It's in a women's group. It's in a group that you can connect with where people can help you see what it is and push you towards the right direction for your life. Amen, Pastor. That was good. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Listen, if I want to lose weight, which I'm always thinking about, dear God, why is it me? Why, you know, some of you, you're so skinny and you eat everything. I dislike you. I mean, I walk into Dunkin' Donuts, I only want a coffee, and I walked in there a few weeks ago, I got that smell of that caffeine and sugar. Come on, somebody praise him right there. And I'm looking at those donuts, and they're saying, eat me. Eat me. And I said, no. No. And then, you know what I did? You know what I got? I got a glimpse of all the people in my life that helped me in that area. I got a glimpse of my oldest son, Ben. I could see the look on his face. He didn't have to be there. I saw him. I'm thinking he's going to tell me, Dad, I saw Garrett. Now, if Ryan would have been there, we would have both would have got a donut. No, I'm just joking. I saw my coach, Jessica. She's never said, don't eat a donut. But I can just see. And it's the exposure to the people in your life that can help you to move away from one way of living to move into another way of living. Are you listening to me? Hebrews 3:13, exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin? We laugh about those things, but even those little things will have a tendency to cause you to move to bigger things. I just was telling Patty the other day, I felt this on me. I wanted to throw off all restraints and just eat anything and everything. I would have ate the table. I was so hungry, I just wanted everything. But no, I can't. I got to stop because you can move in that direction. And I'm just, I'm trying to use that as an illustration. For some of you, it may be alcohol. For some of you, it may be a drug addiction. For some of you, it may be promiscuity. And you think a little bit is okay, and if I just do this once in a while, everything is okay. And the enemy will want to take that and destroy your life with it. And then last, make the long-term commitment to change. It's not going to happen on a quick fix. It's not going to just happen, everybody wants it. Man, I want it now. Hurry up. Everybody, let's go. Let's microwave. Let's fast food it. Everything's fast, fast, fast. You got to make a long-term commitment that this is the way you're going to live. This is the way you're going to change. You're going to immerse yourself in God's plan for your life. You're going to make sure you're around the right people. And if it's a greater deficit in your life, that you'll seek professional help with that. You'll get the counseling. You'll get the medical help. Whatever it is that you need to do to make that change. So you're not waking up every day of your life saying, why did I do that again? Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves. If you get that one right with serving God, if you get that first thing, deny yourself. Take up their cross and follow me. He said, for whoever wants to save their life, they're going to lose it. But whoever loses their life for me, they'll find their life. I want to just encourage you today, lay all that other stuff down. Move past all that stuff that has the ability to want to destroy and control your life. Lay it down. I love that song that they sang this morning. Come to the altar. God's arms are reaching out to you and to me. I can't stress it enough. He's not mad at you. I know, there's preachers out there, they want to scream and yell and holler and just point their finger and tell everybody how bad they are. I don't read that anywhere in the gospel. The only time I ever saw Jesus really confronting somebody like that was to religious people. But he loves you. His plan for you is to have life and to have it more abundantly. I just feel a tug from the Lord right now that God is just really working in somebody's heart and their life right now. Maybe you're here today. You've come to the end. You just say, I can't go on like I've been going any longer. Can I just offer you today the gift of eternal life through Christ? It's not joining or becoming necessarily a part of a church. I think church life is so important because we need one another. But I'm talking about connecting with the man, Jesus Christ, who God sent into the world to save you and I and to bring life to you and I in a way that we maybe have never had it before. I want you to close your eyes. I want to pray for you. I want my prayer team, come on down to the altar. I sense a real, just a push from heaven this morning that I sense in my heart, even as Ryan had said earlier, that somebody's life is, this is your day. This is your moment. This is your time. And you can do this. You can do it. God's going to help you and give you the strength. Thank you, Lord God, Spirit of the living God. I ask you, Lord, even as we are closing right now, but for some, it's the start of a brand new season for their lives. It's the start of something brand new. I pray, Lord, that even before they leave today, you will give them the power to move in that direction and to make that decision and to make that choice today. I want every eye closed, every head bowed, just for a moment. I want to ask everyone here. I don't want anyone looking around, please. If you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, I want to pray for you right where you're at this morning. You just put up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my heart to Christ. I don't want anything from you. I just want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands down. You're here today, eyes closed, still heads bowed, just for a moment. You're here today and you've been wrestling with some of these poor habits. And you know that without his help, you can't move on another moment of your life because you're going to find yourself right back in there. I want to pray for you. Just raise your hand up. Say, Pastor Marty, pray for me this morning. Don't be afraid. God bless you. Hands all over. You can put them down. Everyone pray this with me. Say, I'm going to help you with these words. Say these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I come to you. I need you. I ask you to take over my life. I ask you to be my Lord, my Savior. Take the pull of sin out of me. And let your hand rest mightily upon me. I surrender all to you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Father, I pray for every man, woman, boy, and girl that prayed that prayer today, some that prayed it for the first time, may you, by the power of your Holy Spirit, now take up residence. Lord, I pray favor and blessing over every life here today in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Listen, if you raised your hand today, I want you to come down. Let one of these folks pray with you, over you. If you need a Bible, come on down. They'll give you a Bible as well. I love you. Go in God's grace. Please, before you leave, if you want to take that step, move in that direction.